Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Ruth. You know, I think COVID kind of changed some people's minds about wanting to stay here forever. I think heaven's a whole lot better place than America. What do you think? Amen. People complaining about having to wear this and do that and take this shot and all those things. And I'm glad I'm going to a place whose builder and maker is God. And I'm looking forward to that day. If you have your Bible tonight, please turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4 in your Bible. Matthew chapter 4. Preaching this morning about the temptation of Jesus Christ. And we looked at several things about that. And tonight I want to take a little bit different look. So if you have your Bible, we're going to read there in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says, then, that's a particular time, then was Jesus led up the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I'm going to preach about that text. Would you pray with me one more time? Lord, please help us tonight to be able to receive your instruction from the Bible. And please help us, Lord, to do so in such a manner that your Spirit can work in our hearts. Help us to be open to what the Bible says. And Lord, help me not to say anything that would hinder that. I need your help tonight, Lord. And we're so grateful for this book that you've given us to preach from. Now, please, by the power of your Spirit, we pray you'd have your will and way here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the temptation of Jesus. I think I want to start off by saying tonight that I hate the devil. Because the devil certainly has interjected himself here in chapter 4 after Jesus has been baptized in chapter 3, after he's begun his public ministry, and after the Holy Ghost has filled his life. And yet here the devil shows up tempting Jesus Christ. And in thinking that, I want you to notice how that what he does in verse number 3 is something that I know he's done to many who were seated inside the auditorium tonight. Look at verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, you see that next word in your Bible? If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You know, I believe he is calling into question who Jesus Christ is. Now, I don't think Jesus had any doubt about who he was. But I think that his question is this, or his statement, if thou be the Son of God. He's going to repeat that again down in verse number 9. If you look what the Bible says there, verse 6. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. That's a very particular phrasing about Jesus. The Son of God. That's his relationship with his Father. He's bringing that into question. And the reason I think that is so unique, would you look at the end of chapter 3 and verse 17? The Bible says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God the Father declares that Jesus is his Son, and you've got right not 3 verses later that the devil is calling into question whether or not that relationship exists. And I'm telling you right now, there are people in this auditorium and listening to the sound of my voice. They got born again. They put their faith in Jesus Christ. They didn't put their faith in some work that they've done. They didn't put their faith in their Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian. They put their faith in Jesus Christ. And the devil, not just 2 verses later, said, hey, if thou be the Son of God. Look, if God said he was his Son, you can count on it. He had it right. If thou be the Son of God. Calling that into question. And it bothers me. I tell you, I have talked to enough of God's children that struggle with doubt. And all kind of questions come up from that. Well, I don't know if I repented. And I don't know if I was convicted. And I can't remember what I prayed. And I compare my experience with somebody else and it just doesn't seem to be the same. You know what I'd say tonight, child of God? The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Amen. Amen. So the devil starts off by casting doubt on who Jesus was. Trying to cast doubt about that relationship. You know, that's the same thing that happened. If you look there in Matthew 26 or 27, that's exactly what the Pharisees did as well. Would you look at that just a minute? Several times that is brought into question. But in chapter 27 and verse number 40, the Bible's speaking of those chief priests and elders. The Bible says in verse 41, likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross and we will believe Him. You know what they're saying? If you're really the Christ, if you're really the King of Israel, if you're really who you say you are, come down from that cross and prove it. Show your power by coming down off that cross. How many of you are glad Jesus decided that He wouldn't listen to that kind of foolishness? Now go back again to chapter 4 and look what Satan is compelling Jesus to do, calling the question the relationship that He has with His Father. In verse number 3, He says, command that these stones be made bread. In verse number 6, look what He says. And He saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Throw yourself down off the top of this pinnacle. Go ahead and throw yourself down off this pinnacle. If you're really who you say you are, if you really have that relationship, go ahead and prove it by casting yourself down. And let me say tonight, hey, young man, young lady, maybe you've been saved for a long time. You don't need any physical external proof about your salvation. All you need to do is put your faith and trust in what God has already promised. That to him that cometh to me, amen, I will in no wise cast out. You need to keep your faith centered there. But he's calling that into question. Come on, do something to prove that you are who you say you are. And then he does this. Look what he does. In verse number 4, verse number 3, he says, command that these stones be made bread. Now I believe here he is taking and he is trying to put doubt not only on the person of who Jesus is and his relationship with God, but I think he's trying to put doubt on the design of the plan that God gave, and not only that, but to put his needs above everything else that is in life. In other words, I want you to take and put your physical needs to be preeminent. And I know you're hungry. That's in verse number 2. After 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. He's hungry. So the devil's saying, listen, take your creative power, use it for your own benefit to satisfy your own wants and desires. I don't know how many of you think that sounds a whole lot like the world today, but I'm telling you, you know what the world will tell you? You need to make sure you take care of yourself before you take care of anybody else. You need to look after your needs. You need to take care of your needs need to be put preeminent above that. I tell you what, I am glad that I did not have a mother that had that same opinion. My mother made certain she took care of our needs as children, many times putting herself off. My dad, the same thing. My dad drove a yellow Dodge Dart. And I'm not talking about the kind that you see today. There wasn't anything fancy about it. It had vents on the outside, didn't have air conditioning. It didn't have power steering. It was yellow and it was ugly. And he drove that because he wanted my mother to have the car that was nicest. You know what he was doing? He was putting himself off instead of saying, you know what? I'm the breadwinner in this family. I'm the one that makes the most money. I'm going to drive something that is, you know, comparative to that. And that is not, listen, the world will tell you the way up is to put yourself at the top. I'm telling you, that is not the Bible. The Bible says the way up for the Christian is humbling yourself and serving other people. He's calling that into question. Come on, take care of your own needs here. Go ahead and turn some of these stones into bread. I look at that. I don't think that that's a gross question to ask somebody to do. But yet he's saying, command these stones be made bread. Now, can I ask you a question? Who made those stones? How many of you think Jesus Christ made those stones? Sure he did. He made those stones. He made the wilderness where he had been driven. I'll tell you what else he did. He's the one that created the tempter that was talking to him. He made Lucifer. Jesus Christ had power to create. And here's what I want to say about that. Those stones were not created for the purpose of satisfying Jesus' fleshly needs. God made them exactly what they were. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, the Bible says that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible says that God hath made everything beautiful in his own time. How many of you think that God knows what he's doing when he creates? Yeah, there's a lot of things you can call into question on this earth about somebody's design and their plan for certain things. I mean, there are things that you have to sit back and scratch your head and say, you know, why did anybody design that this way? Why did they make that this way? I'm telling you right now, when God made what he made it very good, and he made it just the way it ought to be made. Amen. You know, that includes you. Come on, you believe God made you? Certainly he did. God made you. And he made you uniquely different from other people. And you have all kinds of things about you that are different from others. But God made you. And Satan is called, I believe he's calling into question the design and the plan that God had. You're out here and you're hungry. Jesus, you're out here hungry. And you can take and you can make these stones into bread. But you know, Jesus wasn't in that kind of a... He didn't do that. He created what needed to be created. When it took time to take five loaves and two fishes, he took and made those five loaves and two fishes multiply. He didn't reach over and grab stones and make fishes to feed the people. He had already made what he had made. He made it very good. He had created it right. But now, I'm sure Satan is saying, you know what? Maybe you ought to rethink this thing about being born unto a virgin in a manger. Maybe you ought to rethink this thing about this public ministry you're about to step out on. Maybe you ought to rethink this thing about what you're going to do and go about and have no place to lay your head. Maybe you ought to rethink this thing about going to Calvary and dying for the sins of man. I'm going to tell you what. Listen, Jesus didn't need to doubt the plan. God's plan is right. And I'm saying tonight, are you listening? God's plan is right for your life as well. Amen. You can trust that plan. But you know, sometimes you get sick. Sometimes things happen in your life and you begin to doubt, does God really know what he's doing? Job had those same questions. I was thinking about a song that we sang in the youth meeting this past week. And that song is, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. And we heard the Williamson family sing that. Can I read you a few lines of that? I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. Doesn't sound like me. He believed in Mother Nature. Sound like me. He believed in the power of God. He made the sun and the moon and the stars. Do you know the man that wrote that, Isaac Watts? You know he never married? This is not a trick question. How many of you men are glad that you married? Man. Isaac Watts never married. Isaac Watts was in bad... By the way, if you didn't raise your hand, Dr. Aiken will counsel you after service. Isaac Watts was a man of very poor health, a man short of stature, said that he had a great big head and a crooked nose. Now, that's probably going to ruin it every time we sing that song. What I'm saying is he was not an attractive man. He spoke five languages. He was certainly a man of God. He was a preacher. And the last 30 years of his life, he was basically an invalid. And yet he put down on paper that God is the one that made the mountains and that he made the seas and that he made the skies and that he made the day and the sun and the moon and the stars and that he was content in that. Hey, let me say, listen, I know that sometimes we get discouraged here, but you haven't seen the finished plan yet. You haven't seen the end of God's design yet. And I believe that Satan's trying to call into doubt. Hey, listen. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made into bread. You know, you've got a bad plan. I tell you right now what I believe. I believe that Jesus has got the best plan for your life. I believe His plan is the right plan. But then go back to Matthew chapter 4. Maybe you're still there. Look what it says in verse number 4. I like the way that this is given in response to the devil. But he answered and said, "It is written." You know, Jesus quoted three times back to the devil, "It is written. It is written." You know, I'd say to us tonight, we're going to do our best standing. We're standing on the Word of God. It is written. He goes on to say this, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Satan trying to get him to doubt his relationship with God. Satan trying to get him to doubt the plan that he is the one that created. But now Jesus answers back. And you know what he does? He does something I think that every preacher, I believe every parent ought to do. He answers back and he puts preeminence on the Word of God, not his own needs. He takes and brushes aside his own personal need, his own personal hunger. He brushes that aside and he says that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And listen, what I'd like to say about that is when he says that we ought to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, I believe that's exactly what he meant. Do you believe that? I don't believe that that's just left up to his opinion. Look at where he said that. Go, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Would you go there? Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is what Jesus is quoting to the devil. Deuteronomy chapter 8. The Bible says in verse number 2, Deuteronomy 8, 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." The context then of what Jesus is saying goes back to the wilderness. When all of those Jews were out there in the wilderness and God is raining down manna down on the earth to feed them. And when I read that and I think about that, what he's saying back to the devil, oh my goodness, what he's saying back to the devil is this. He said, listen, I know you want me to put my life and my own personal needs as a preeminent priority, but I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my own desires below the Word of God, and I'm going to live by these principles instead of living by what I think I need in my own life. And he ties that to manna coming down from heaven, which leads me to say this. How many of you believe that what we have in our hand right here is the Word of God? You believe that? I believe that. If you want to chase that down in Exodus chapter 16, the Bible says that manna, that it came down from heaven. In other words, all those Jews, when they were eating that manna that they would go out every day and pick up, that manna did not come from Moses. You know, I take issue with any man that says this book was written by men. This book was not written by men. This book was written by God. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And not only that, the Bible is clear. It didn't come from Egypt. It didn't come from Egypt at all. It came from, where did manna come from? Come on now, where did it come from? Same place this Bible came from. It came from heaven. I will say this to you. Look, I'm a Baptist, but this is not a book that came from the Baptist. Now don't be afraid of that. This book didn't come from the Baptist. This book did not come from Tabernacle Baptist Church. Now, we make much of this book, and we're appreciative of what God put in this book. But I'm telling you right now, the manna that they had did not come from Egypt, and it didn't come from Moses. It came from heaven. Listen to me, church. I'm telling you right now, this book right here, it came from heaven, and it did not come from men. It came from God. He said, you need to take and put your own personal desires at the highest place. Command these stones be made bread. And Jesus said, you know, it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out. No, I'm going to just live by the principles that have already been written down, not my own selfish needs. But you know, all that manna, did it come from heaven? Another little thing I'd like to say about that. That manna came from heaven, and that's where it came from, but it was also from a pure place. And what I'd like to say about that is this. Listen, if manna came from heaven, how many would agree it was not made with sinful hands? Did you agree with that? Sinful hands did not make the manna. And you know, there's so many people today, and I appreciate when people try to help us. And right now, my wife has helped me in so many ways in trying to eat healthier and better. And I appreciate that. She, you know, she mixes in greens and beans and all kind of other stuff like that. Yeah, I tell you this, though. You can tell when somebody starts slipping spinach into your milkshake. There ain't enough sugar to cover that up. Trying to help us eat healthier. And look, I think it's the right thing to do. But every now and then somebody gets talking about, you know, how pure they're trying to eat, and they're trying to eat organically, and, you know, they're trying to, and I'm not saying it's wrong, we're going to eat organically. Can I ask you a question? Is this earth cursed? Yes or no? Is it cursed? Absolutely cursed. Do you think that whatever the corn, the Bible calls manna the corn of heaven, the corn of heaven, if it was made out of corn, how many of you think it was pure corn? Not GMO modified. How many think it was planted in pure soil? How many of you think that it was also watered with pure water? And I'm talking about 1,000 times purer than you can modify by all the filtering processes, reverse osmosis and everything. What I'm saying is, when he is saying that I am going to put my principle of the Bible above my own personal needs, that manna, it came from heaven, but it was pure in the night. Are you listening to me, young people? This book right here is a pure book. Oh, no, it was written by man. It was tainted by his opinions. I do not believe that at all. I know God used the hand of Paul, but God spoke through Paul what he wanted to be in here. And, you know, there are people who don't believe that. You know, they're welcome to be wrong. Right. You can put your opinion, whatever you want to put it in. I tell you what, I'm going to put it in. I'm going to put it in something that God says is pure. The Bible says that these words are pure, that they've been purified 7 times, preserved. Hey, you've got the Word of God. Amen. Yeah, today they're rewriting history books and all of that. You know, they're rewriting Bibles. But you don't need a rewritten Bible. You just need this one right here. It's pure. Every word. Preserved, pure, without error. Jesus says, I'm going to hold to that pure Word of God. You know, there's another thing about that manna. That manna was something that everybody got satisfied by. It didn't matter who you were. If you were older, people would go out and they would gather, the Bible says, an omer. And some would gather much and then some would gather little. But then they would take and they would share that, and there was nobody that lacked. Every man gathered. And then every man was satisfied. You know, I'd like to say this evening. Amen. I'd like to say this right here. This book is written for every man. Are you listening to me? This book is written for every man. This book was not just written for people that have been to Bible college or that have studied the original languages. This book was written for the common man. This book was written for children. This book was written for teenagers. This book was written for people that weren't raised in a Christian home. That manna was for anybody that went out there and picked it up off the ground because it was available. And, hey, I'm going to tell you something else. And they all got satisfied. Got satisfied. I know tonight. I'm telling you, there is nothing that satisfies the soul like the Bible. I know there are people who say, I just don't believe that. Well, you just need to try it. That's like this. I know. How many of you have never had sushi? Would you raise your hand? How many don't plan on ever eating sushi? Would you raise your hand? Okay. All right. So the truth is, then you really have, you've already made up your mind, right? And if I told you that it was really good, you know what you'd tell me? Oh, no, it's not. You know what everybody says about sushi? They all say the same thing. It's slimy. I'm not going to eat a slimy fish. No, it's not slimy. Oysters are slimy. Okra is slimy. Right. But you make up your mind ahead of time. Well, no, I couldn't enjoy that. That couldn't be good. And I just don't think that I would like that at all. But you don't know that until you try it. Preacher, I just don't think I could read my Bible through in 1 year. And I don't think, preacher, I just, there's things that when I get to the book of Chronicles and I get to the book of Numbers and I don't understand those things. And some of those things in Revelation, I'm just not certain what they mean. Hey, that's all right. I'm just going to tell you, you get in this book right here, you read it enough and you're going to find out it will satisfy your soul more. Are you listening? More than whatever's on the television. So what I'm saying, are you listening? What I'm saying is Jesus, when given the opportunity of self-preservation. Come on, how many of you after 40 days would eat a rock? After 40 days? No food after 40 days? And the devil's saying, look, go ahead. You're hungry. Use your power to satisfy your own need. After all, don't even know if your relationship with the Father is really right. And your plan and design, I don't even know if it was really right. And Jesus stands right back and he says, it is written. I'm not going to live satisfying my own needs. I'm going to live by the principles of this book. But I'm going to tell you tonight, that's the right way to approach temptation from the devil. You need to take and decide whatever principles are in this book are the principles that you're going to live by. And there's no doubt, there's no question, there's no time to reason about that. There's nothing to debate about that. Whatever the Bible says is right. And I know this is an unpopular thing to say today. It doesn't really matter what they decide in Washington. At the Supreme Court level, God made them male and female. That's what He made them. That's what He made them. Well, but you don't understand. I think you can identify as this and you can identify that. I have been just blown away by what people identify as. I heard a woman who had white parents who said that she was transracial. She identified as being a different race. How do you do that? I heard about a man that identified, a man in his 40s that identified as a 7-year-old girl. Trans age and gender. I identify as that. Well, we just ought to just let them identify. I saw about a man who identified as a dog. No, really, I'm not kidding. And the dog, he wanted to be called Boomer. I'm telling you the truth. He identified as trans species. I'm not really human. I'm a dog. I watched a woman who identified as a cat. I have something I could say about that, but I'm not going to do that right now. And she was at the window of her house meowing. And waving at the screen. You say, what is that? That is somebody that's lost their mind. Lost their mind. Yeah, but I just think you ought to be able to identify as whatever you want to identify as. Well, I think I'm going to identify as the President of the United States. I'm inviting everybody tomorrow night to the White House for a meal. What do you think is going to happen to me? They may be listening now. I may be eating somewhere else tomorrow night. It's what I identify. Listen, I understand what people are trying to say, but you, look, God made them male and He made them female. And the Bible is clear about that. And you know what you and I need to do? We need to stand on what the Bible says. But go beyond that. When it comes to your temptation, there are verses in this Bible. We're all made differently, and the devil will tempt you differently than he does other people. And I'm telling you what you and I ought to do. We ought to do the same thing. Listen to me. Listen. It is not enough to believe this Bible is pure. It is not enough to believe this Bible came from God. It is not enough. Are you listening? It is not enough to believe this Bible satisfied. You need to know this Bible and use this Bible. Jesus didn't say, now, wait a minute, let me get out my New Testament here. Let me get out the Old Testament. Look, he said, it is written. He knew it. Come on, we ought to get to know our Bible. We were on vacation, and we had stopped in a church, and I was so impressed with this lady's Bible in front of us. That Bible, it was so full of stuff. It was worn. It had stuff on the outside, on the inside. I took a picture of it. They probably thought I was some strange person taking a picture of somebody's Bible. I just ended up having to give her a little bit of money. We gave her a little bit of money because I thought, that is a blessing. This lady loves her Bible. Listen, do you know, we need to love our Bible. Our children need to know we love our Bible. We need to live by what's in here. And man, she had such a high esteem of that book right there. I'm going to tell you what we need to do, church. When Satan causes you to doubt your relationship, you need to remember the principles that are in here. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When he calls you to doubt God's plan, the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And I need to hold on to the principles in this book. I need to stand right there. And what an example, Jesus saying, no, I'm not going to put my own preservation and my own needs above this book. I'm going to take this book and I'm going to put it above my own personal needs, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, we ought to love the Bible. I think you ought to get in your Bible in the morning and read it. You know, I had a young man ask me that question the other day. He asked about praying. Is it good to pray early in the morning? Do you have to? How many of you are not morning people? How many of you are morning people? How many of you have no idea what you are? Morning people. Listen. You know what I really think is best? I think it's best for you and I not to put the preeminence on what we look like, what we're putting in, where we need to go. It would be better to put preeminence on what this book has to say to us and say, God, speak to me, to memorize Scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Take and put that down inside. You know, Jeremiah said, or rather Job said, I have esteemed his words more than my necessary food. That's the crux of what Jesus is saying. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The world is going to doubt this book. I say, let them doubt on. You and I need to believe this book. The society we live in is going to question the principles in this book. Let them go ahead and question you and I. We need to stand where this Bible stands. And if we'll do that, then maybe we can endure some of the temptations that come our way to keep us from being what God wants us to be. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? Lord, we thank you for the Bible. God, we thank you, Lord, for a book that you gave to us that did not come from men. Doesn't have any impurity in it. Doesn't have anything in it that defiles or is corrupt. And Lord, the pressure put on us today to conform to what other people believe and what they say, instead of believing what you wrote in your Bible, is growing with every passing day. The temptation, Lord, to lower our flag and lower the standard of Bible-believing Christianity grows with each passing day. God, would you please help us as a church? Help us, Lord, to see what our Savior did there in the wilderness and say, hey, listen, go live by the Bible and every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Help us to do that. Help us to make much of it in our homes. Help us to make much of it in our daily lives and in our interaction with people at work. Lord, help them to see us pull it out of our our perhaps our locker or out of our desk or out of a purse and read it. Lord, help them to see that we believe that what this Bible has to say is worth living for. And not to diminish a word. And Lord, for those men that would take the Bible away from these people. God, for those that would cause doubt about the truth and the purity of this word, Lord, help us to make up our mind that we're just going to believe what the Bible says about itself. Every word is pure. Please help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing one verse of that song together. Brother Stevens, let's sing together if we would tonight. And how many of you, I tell you what, I feel like we ought to sing, I love the old Bible. Have you got that over there? It's not in here. Okay, then let's sing what you've got then.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing.
Boy, we've had a lot of people saved in the last month or so. Hadn't that been a blessing? Had a lot of people join the church. And this is Meredith Myers. And I'm going to pass this off to my faithful predecessor. And I'm going to let him go ahead. And she wants to join the church by baptism. She got saved. But we want to go ahead and put that in front of you now. So, Brother Aiken, I'm just going to let you do what you've done 100,000 times before. Right.
Meredith, we love you, young lady. And have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you know that you're saved? If Jesus comes today, are you going to heaven with Him? Amen. And it's your desire to follow the Lord in believer's baptism because you've trusted Him? You want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism? Amen. Okay. All right. Would you like to say anything? Amen. We love you and appreciate you. All right.
And upon doing that, she just says she wants to make certain she's a member of Tabernacle Baptist Church. So upon her baptism, how many are glad to have Meredith as part of Tabernacle Baptist Church? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'll just say this. The reason I'm down here, I received a telephone call one day in my office. And there was a lady on the phone. And she said, I have a young lady, a baby, that we want to place in a fundamental, independent Baptist family. Do you know of anybody like that? And I knew that Brad and Tina were not able to have children, and they were wanting to have a child. And I said, I believe I can put you in contact with these folk. And let me first call them. And then I'll have them call you if you'll give me your telephone number. And so from that, you have this family here today. And just thankful. Let me say this about that, too. This lady, she said, we want to be sure that you're fundamental independent Baptist. Is that correct? I said, yes, this family is fundamental independent Baptist. She said, do you believe and do they believe that Jesus is coming again and rapture the church out of the world? I said, yes, we sure do. We're looking for him to come anytime. And she said, do you believe in salvation by grace through faith? Salvation and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation? I said, we certainly do. She said, do they believe that? I said, they certainly do. And she said, well, have them call me. I have a baby I'd like to place in that home. And here's the baby.
Amen. 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 Brother Aiken, you want to dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Father, we thank you that you're still saving
Amen. Sinners.
And even though, Lord, we may be just a child as Meredith, I came to know you as my personal Lord and Savior when I was 9 years of age. And I followed you in believer's baptism because you were baptized by John in the River Jordan. I followed you. And now Meredith comes having trusted you as her personal Lord and Savior, for which we're thankful and glad and rejoice. And now she wants to come and follow your example and follow you in believer's baptism. Now, Lord, bless her, we pray, and help her to live for you all the days of her life and commit her life to you to be used in whatever fashion you so desire. And I pray, Lord, for Brad and Tina, that you'll help them and give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding, that they might guide and direct this young lady in the fear and admonition of the Lord. They would lead her and guide her in her life, Lord, to serve you and to be faithful to you. And we'll thank you for it. Thank you for what you're doing here at Tabernacle. Thank you for our pastor. And thank you for the souls that have been saved. Those of us that have been revived and challenged and charged and charged up in this meeting that we've been having here. And we don't know all that you're doing and all that you will do. But, Lord, we pray you'll continue to work and continue to minister and continue to revive and continue, Lord, to save sinners. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
And before you go, I have one other thing that we need to take care of. You just never know when it ends, do you? I have here in front of me Mrs. Patricia M. Feltz card. Mrs. Feltz, Miss Pat Feltz. And she says she would like to join Tabernacle Baptist Church by way of letter from Trinity Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. So all in favor of taking Mrs. Pat in until that letter gets here, raise your right hand. How about that? It's just kind of like, you never know what's going to happen next in the last month. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And I praise the Lord for it. Miss Pat, we're glad to have you. And certainly are appreciative of you wanting to be here, part of us. All right, God bless you now. I believe you're dismissed. Amen. Amen, Meredith. Amen.